But the thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen.
Keep pushing through it, and you'll make it through the day.
No matter how bad things get, life is beautiful, and things will always be better. Everything is worth it.
Scared? Alone? Unsure of what's to come? This podcast is for our brothers and sisters who struggle with homelessness. Join us on this journey to improve our mental health, to challenge what's possible, to become who we are. Let's ignite hope one spark at a time and set our dreams on fire.
Welcome back to all my good friends in the Street Strong community. So appreciative for every single one of you who are listening here today. Don't forget, please don't forget to write a review if you're enjoying this podcast. Please email me at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your recommendations for future episodes. If you'd like to be on a future episode, if you'd like to share success stories in your corner of the world as it relates to homelessness, to ask questions, to continue to engage in conversation, we absolutely love that here at Street Strong. Please email me, leave a review, like, subscribe, all that jazz. Today, we're going to talk about the secret in beating addiction. And there is a secret, and it's a beautiful secret, and I can't wait to talk about it. Before I even go into what that secret is, please know that this podcast is not medical advice, that when it comes to addiction or mental illness, please consult your healthcare provider, get emergency treatment. If you need emergency treatment, that's 911, that's 988 is the crisis line. Report to your nearest emergency room. Again, this is not medical advice. This is, especially as it relates to addiction, detoxing needs to be done safely in a supervised, controlled medical environment. So please do the right thing and get medical help if need be. Now, I want to open up and say, we are going to talk about positive addiction. It's exciting. We're going to talk about first what is negative addiction so that we can understand positive addiction a little bit better. We're going to define positive addiction. We're also going to flesh out the six qualities or features of a positive addiction and examples of positive addictions. We're also going to share a practical tip about how you can develop a positive addiction, what that looks like, how it can potentially change your life, revolutionize your mental health. It's a very exciting episode today. And it begins with my friend Jim. Now, that's not his real name. I don't share real names on this podcast to protect privacy. It's very important. We're going to call him Jim. He's a friend of mine on Skid Row. He's been addicted to methamphetamines for 15 years. But in the last 5 years, Jim has been sober as a bunny. And he's so proud and he's glowing and he's accomplishing all of these incredible feats. He's back in school. He's applying for jobs. He's well connected in his community of faith. Jim is just beaming and proud and happy. And just 5 years ago, he was addicted to methamphetamines in the heart of Skid Row. Now, I asked Jim what his secret was to beating addiction. I think beating a methamphetamine addiction even for 24 hours is incredible. I think beating it for 2 weeks is incredible. You name it. Beating any addiction for any amount of time is incredible. And remember, I'll say it again, always detox safely under medical supervision. Unsafe detox is lethal. It can be very deadly and very bad. So please consult a medical professional. Jim has been sober for 5 years, and I asked him what his secret was. What did Jim say? Drum roll, get addicted to something else. That's what Jim said. He stared at me in the eyes. He said, Tommy, get addicted to something else. That advice really blew my mind. I have a master's degree in chemical dependency counseling. I'm also a psychiatric nurse practitioner. I've read textbooks, can't count how many, articles, podcasts, interviews, you name it. I love to read. But getting advice from somebody who was in the throes of methamphetamine addiction in the heart of Skid Row, there's nothing quite like that. It's very powerful. It's very moving. I very much appreciated him opening up to me and letting me know what the secret to addiction was. Get addicted to something else. But at the same time, I'd be lying to all of you if I didn't say I was a little bit confused, because the word addiction is not a good word. We can all agree it's not really a word that makes us comfortable. And it's interesting to me because Jim, you know, Jim didn't turn to me and say, Tommy, you know, my secret is I just distract myself. My secret is that I watched a commercial from the 80s and I just said no. And I stopped. My secret is that I don't want to die when I'm 37. No, none of those were his answers. And yet he said his answer is to get addicted to something else. And again, I find that so fascinating. You know, in AA circles, AA is a beautiful organization. It's done immeasurable good for humanity. Probably deserves multiple future podcast episodes. But in AA, you know, folks are taught that they're powerless against addiction. And that may be true or may not be true. I'm not here to pass judgment on that. I'm not an expert on AA, to be honest with you. But it's interesting that Jim said to get addicted to something else. And maybe that is squaring with what AA says, because the idea with Jim is that, you know, hey, I have this drive. I have this desire to connect, to find meaning, to throw myself into life's experiences. And instead of saying he's going to get rid of that drive, he just said get addicted to something else. Now, maybe we can agree that, again, the word addiction is kind of loaded. It has its own connotations. Okay. But what are we trying to say here? It's just very interesting that maybe on some level, Jim agreed with AA in that he was powerless and that drive is still going to be there. So his decision was to use that drive in a powerful way, in a way that would make him grow, in a way that would energize him, in a way that would bring joy and meaning into his life. That even if he was powerless to control that drive with methamphetamine, he was not powerless to divert that drive, to move that drive onto something else. So I find that to be very powerful and very thought-provoking, something we can all really think about. My personal view is that we all are wired to connect and to feel and to move beyond ourselves, to make meaning of this world. We all have a sense of awe and gratitude. We all want to be safe. We want to build communities and relationships. And so to just stop our thirst for other people and other things would not really make a lot of sense to me. I think the better idea is to try and channel that into something that makes us grow, that gives us joy and happiness and a state of bliss, a deeper state of being. I don't think we should shut that life force out. I don't think we can shut that life force out. And I also, from my experiences working with folks in the homeless community, you know, it's so easy to judge and say, oh, well, you shouldn't use that substance. But at the end of the day, there's a reason people do anything. There's a reason I'm holding this pen in my left hand instead of my right hand. There's a reason that I got 7 hours of sleep instead of 4 hours of sleep, whatever the case is, right? And so there's a reason people use, and they might not be aware of why they use, but a lot of times we're learning that people use because life is very painful. Life is very overwhelming. And the quickest way to feel better, the quickest way to numb those feelings is stuff we find on the street because we can't find it through health insurance because we don't have health insurance. We don't have a job that pays for a medication that might do it more safely and therapeutically. And so people go to the street. I'm not saying that's good. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not making any kind of moral judgment on that. And I think the problem is that we have too many moral judgments that are just loaded and black and white, and they hurt people. And they also just confuse how we're supposed to solve these problems or address them in the first place. So again, Jim's advice to me is very fascinating because there is some sort of life force that I think he's trying to argue is inevitable. We all have it, and we need to just channel it better. And maybe he's saying that when you don't channel that in a good way, then something else fills the void. And that void can be filled by crack or meth or heroin, right? And we don't want that. And why don't we want that? Well, we need to talk about negative addictions, okay? And how do we define an addiction? There's many different ways to define this. we could spend all day just defining it. But at the end of the day, I think that addiction is a sickness that can be treated. It happens when a person's brain, their family history, where they live, and the things they've gone through in life kind of all mix together. And when someone has an addiction, they typically can't stop using something or engaging in that activity, even when it causes a lot of problems. We can treat it. We can help folks who are addicted to things. And it's very possible to completely reinvent your life with the right treatment and mindset. But again, it's a treatable sickness. It's something that happens to the brain, the environment, our family, the way we grew up, the kind of jobs we have or don't have, the opportunities we have or don't have. All of these sort of present as factors into why a particular substance might make us feel good. It might fill some kind of void. It might do something for us that we otherwise aren't able to do on our own, or we think we're not able to do on our own. And that's a very key concept that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Features of a negative addiction: you just want to keep using this substance. You have this overwhelming craving or urge to use something like crack or heroin or alcohol or gambling, right? You just want to do it again. You want to use it again. And you want to do it even though you also kind of want to stop, right? You have this urge, but at the same time, you want to stop. People around you want you to stop. You're using because even though very bad outcomes can occur, very dangerous outcomes can occur. You can get robbed. You can get more addicted and end up in the hospital, right? A lot of these substances are very bad for our health. So we're using even though the consequences can be really bad and deadly, maybe get us involved on the street or with gangs. Another feature of a negative addiction is we lose control. We have less and less ability to really control what's going on. We try to stop, we can't always stop. And that's because when we get addicted to things, sometimes those substances start to overtake our brain. They start to change the way our brain organizes, and that can make it even harder to stop using. We also build a tolerance. I call it the tyranny of tolerance, because you need more and more of that substance to just feel better, right? You just need more and more. If it's crack, you need more and more crack to feel better. And you're going to try harder and harder to get more and more crack. And the more crack you get, the better chance it is that you could just end up dead. And of course, it just makes it harder and harder for you to build those happy chemicals on your own. As you will see later, you absolutely can do that with some time and with some changes. And that's the beautiful part of addiction, that on the other side is something really warm and inviting and incredible if we just have faith that it's possible in the first place. Another feature of a negative addiction is withdrawal. When we don't have what we want, we are anxious, we are angry, we are irritable, we can't sleep, or maybe we sleep too much. We are in physical pain, right? So when we don't have this thing, we shrivel and we get worse and life becomes darker and just smaller and more intense. And so not having this thing really makes us worse off as people. And anyone who's withdrawn from any substance will tell you how that can just be hell in a handbasket. And of course, another feature of addiction is you ignore other things that you used to enjoy, other activities, other relationships. They all become smaller and smaller because rule number one is to find that substance, to get more of it, to feel better. And eventually we really become a slave to that substance, right? It's not even really a choice anymore. It kind of starts to run us and we don't even think about it. And so it can really hijack us. I use the word hijack because that's really what it is at the end of the day. It's like a plane that was hijacked, except our brain is being hijacked. Our brain is going to a destination it really never chose to go in. We didn't want to go to crash into a cold mountain. We wanted to arrive in a sunny vacation island and just land gracefully and bask in the sun. That's what we wanted to do. But the addiction overtook our minds and completely changed the game. And so that's really a negative addiction. It can involve just a surge of happy chemicals from a lot of these street drugs. And then our brain says, no, that's what I want. That's only what I want. I don't want anything else. I want that surge of chemicals hitting my brain. And the problem with that is it's not a good solution because you're just going to need more and more and more until one day you might die from it, until one day all your relationships go away, until one day it just gets harder and harder to tap into who you really are. Again, there's so much beauty on the other side of this. There's so much possibility on the other side of this. It can be done. It can be treated. It's wonderful when it is treated. You all have the power in your hands. I've seen it on Skid Row. I've seen people make incredible comebacks. They are proof in the pudding that you can do this. But I just thought we needed to go over negative addiction before we can really understand positive addictions, before we can really understand what Jim is trying to tell us about being addicted to something else. Now, lucky for us, there was a psychiatrist that wrote a book in 1976, and that psychiatrist's name was William Glasser, and he wrote a book called Positive Addiction. It's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. And William Glasser is best known for developing choice theory and reality therapy and a lot of innovative approaches that emphasize personal responsibility and choice, our ability to really grab life by the horns on our own terms and radically change our lives for the best. Glasser's wonderful. There are some things he says that I'm not a big fan of. I think he can be kind of cruel when it comes to mental health sometimes, and he talks about people really choosing to be miserable and people choosing to be happy. I don't think it's that simple, but positive addiction is a fascinating topic, and I think Jim was talking about it when he told me that that was his secret to overcoming addiction. Now, William Glasser talks about positive addiction and tells us what it really is, and that's pretty amazing. So let's talk about that right now. Positive addictions are activities that enrich you. They make you better. You choose them voluntarily, and it contributes to your overall well-being as an individual. And it's a stark difference. It's a huge difference between negative addictions, which actually make your health worse and undermine your happiness. So positive addictions help you grow. They help you find meaning. You choose them. And they're beautiful. Now, it gets deeper and more practical than that. And I'm so excited to share that because we're going to talk about characteristics of positive addictions. And William Glasser said they have 6 features. You can write these down if you'd like. I can put them in the show notes as well. Characteristics of positive addictions. Well, the first thing is they have to be non-competitive. Non-competitive. So you are not competing against somebody else, because when you compete, there's win or lose. There's sad feelings. There's bad feelings. There's a lot of unpleasant types of emotion when we compete. That means somebody else loses. That means we're not really moving forward. We're just trying to win. And then what happens when you lose? Well, you're not going to feel very good. And when you don't feel very good, that's pretty similar to a negative addiction where you might be happy for a few minutes when you snort a line of Coke, but then a day later, a few hours later, you're miserable again, and you're just looking for another line of Coke, okay? So the first quality of a positive addiction is it's non-competitive. And he talks about how you should spend about 1 hour a day on this. Now, that's a lot. We won't, you know, we're going to move up in baby steps. But he talks about a non-competitive activity that you spend 1 hour a day doing. Everybody starts with just a few minutes. And that's fine. We're going to talk about how to extend that, what that looks like, and how you're really going to naturally want to increase it up to an hour after a while because you'll be addicted to it. Now, not to beat the dead horse, the word addiction here is a little bit slippery and weird, okay? It's not that we want anybody to be addicted to anything. I don't think William Glasser wanted you to be addicted to anything. I don't think Jim on Skid Row wanted you to be addicted. The point is that we want behaviors that make us grow that we do as a habit, right? As an ingrained habit. And this would be better if it was positive habits. But, you know, the book was called Positive Addiction, and Jim said, get addicted to something else. So here we go. The second feature of a positive addiction is that you can do it easily, and there's not a great deal of mental effort, okay? But this is not about being addicted to becoming an astronaut or becoming a Michelin star chef or some other, like a NASCAR driver. No, that's not what we're talking about here. This is something you can do easily. It's not a great deal of effort. The third quality would be that You do it alone and you rarely depend on others. That's a big one. That's a really big one, because if you depend on others, maybe they don't show up. And if they don't show up, you can't rely on this behavior to really fill the void and do better, right? So the fourth quality is you believe it has some physical, mental, or spiritual value to you. Again, I'm going to repeat that. It's an important one. You believe it has some physical, mental, or spiritual value to you. The fifth quality is a belief that if you continue, you will improve in some way. Okay? You will improve in some way. And that's very important too. Okay? And that can be very individualistic, right? How will you improve? Only you can really tell. But you will improve in some way that's very important to you. And the sixth important feature is it can't be something where you would criticize yourself. Okay? It can't be something where you would criticize yourself. That would be bad, right? This is all about positivity. It's all about doing this alone so you don't depend on others. It's an activity that brings you mental, spiritual, physical value. You can do it for about an hour. It's easy, right? And that you'll improve in some valuable way in your life. Those are the six features and very important ones. I think it's a beautiful structure to start adopting good habits. Now, William Glasser, in his book, he talks about running. Now, I know that a lot of us can't run. We don't run. We live in, you know, my friends on Skid Row definitely don't run. They tell me their neighborhoods are too dangerous. That's just not a thing they do. There's no running space. So disregard running as something that you can necessarily do if you're homeless. But that's a good example. And you can easily replace that with walking or yoga or faith or gardening or meditation or journaling. Now, those are all really incredible, positive addictions. In Jim's case, he really got addicted to his faith. Okay, that's what he told me. He got really into faith. He was able to go to church more. He was reading Bible verses. He was journaling about Bible verses. Faith really became a major passion for him. And he channeled a lot of that need to connect, that need to create and inspire or be inspired. He channeled that into faith. Now, that doesn't mean that he needed other people around him, because remember, one of the qualities of a positive addiction is that you can do it easily and you don't need others that you depend on. So in Jim's case, you know, he's reading the Bible, he's journaling and reflecting about the Bible, and he's praying. And this could look different to everybody. Again, walking, yoga, just meditating, deep breathing, gardening, journaling, all of these are examples of really rich, positive addictions. It could even be a musical instrument, writing poems, relaxing. The list is endless. And it's very important, because how we choose to spend our time in our short lives really determines our fate. How we choose to invest our happiness determines our fate. And if we invest our happiness on other people, we're probably going to be let down. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't connect. Of course, we all need very important, meaningful connections with others. We need that. We're social species. So that's a whole different topic. We need to be social. But my point is, when it comes to the things that motivate you and make you grow and give you gratitude, it is really important that we do choose an addiction that builds us up, that makes us healthier, that we can do rain or shine, doesn't matter where we are. And the minute we can do that, the minute we can run to something that energizes us, grows us, makes us physically, mentally, spiritually healthier, and we don't rely on anybody, we can do it an hour a day, we're passionate about it, it makes us better. The minute that's possible, we've really won the game of life. That means we're not dependent on buying things on Amazon. We're not dependent on new cars or a job or a title or salary or a vacation. We just depend on something close to home, close to our hearts. That's so hard to do. I'll tell you, it's not, let me rephrase that. In fact, it's not really hard to do, but we never do it. And that's what makes it hard. As a society, we're in this 9-to-5 rat race where we have to get that title. We have to have a job. We have to buy this and buy that. And everybody needs to go to Italy. And at the end of the day, it's so much more important to water your inner garden rather than the reach for things outside of us that are really artificial, and they're fleeting. They go away, right? And so it's just so important what Jim talked about and why positive addictions are important, because we can invest in things close to home. And I think that's going to make us a lot happier, a lot more grounded, a lot more energized. And the key is we have to have a passion, right? We have to have a passion for what we're doing, because now Jim is so wired into his faith that he doesn't have time for methamphetamine. He doesn't naturally even want to go back to methamphetamine, because the pleasure that he gets is totally under his control. He gets to decide when to open up that Bible. He gets to decide which verse he wants to dissect and think about and reflect upon. He gets to decide, how to write his next sermon. Even if the next sermon is not heard by anybody, he can write it. He can speak it out loud. It can energize him. It can make him happy. And these are feelings that are always available to him. They make him feel fulfilled mentally and spiritually. He's emotionally more balanced. He's feeling feel good. Hormones rush through his veins, and it doesn't cost him a nickel. It doesn't accidentally have fentanyl in it and kill him. And it's just, what a wonderful way to turn your life around. And I think so many of us would do that if we believed, if we had the faith that the other side of the addiction was possible to feel that good. And yes, it is. Yes, it is possible to feel that good. Absolutely. Because my friends on Skid Row are the first ones to tell you that they have meaningful, beautiful lives full of possibility and color when they stop using. And a lot of those neurotransmitters, those happy chemicals, they build back. They build back with time. They come back with time. And when they're back on board, you can start to enjoy things again. It does take a little time, but it can happen. It does happen all the time. So please know that no matter how good you may feel turning this to a street drug, the other side of that is full of possibility, and people do it every day, and you can too. Absolutely. It starts with believing. Now, practical tips to adopt a positive addiction. Again, the first tip, and one of the most important, is that safe detox we talked about earlier. Don't stop a substance unless you have, you're close to some kind of medical professional, safe medical detoxification. Be careful out there. Seek advice from a medical professional if you're using, if you want to stop using, whatever that looks like. Please lean into your local community resources. Okay. Tip number two is to reflect back to a time when you were not addicted to what you are addicted to now. And think about a great memory and when that addiction was not around. What was your life like? What kind of pleasure did you feel? How safe did you feel? How motivated did you feel? What did that life look like when this substance was not in front and center in your universe? That could be when you were 4 or 5, just playing with somebody outside, a game of tag, or, having fun in the creek, trying to catch frogs, or eating your grandmother's chocolate chip cookie recipe, whatever it is. Think about when that was and ask yourself, am I able to feel that kind of pleasure again? Was I feeling pleasure back then? Is this something I can repeat? What is it going to take for me to get back to that, where those simple pleasures were just so beautiful and so powerful? Write down a list of activities you love that might fit the criteria that I talked about. Brainstorm with your friends in the homeless shelter. Brainstorm on the street. What are things that we love to do? Maybe we love playing the saxophone. Maybe we love to cook, right? I've met folks on Skid Row who love to cook. They love to do stuff like that. So write down a list of possible positive addictions that might fit the bill. And that's a really good tip that can get you started. And then that leads into my next tip, which is to start small. Introduce things little by little. If you want walking to be your positive addiction, walk for 4 minutes tomorrow. Then add another minute the next week and another minute. So each week, and pretty soon, in a whole year, you're walking 60 minutes a day. And when you walk, you can really clear your mind. If it's the Bible, start with one verse. If it's another religious text or spiritual text, start with one verse. Maybe pair that with a walk. You have an hour a day eventually where you can just bring a verse and take a walk and really start to rely on that safe hour, that hour where it's just yours. Your phone is off, your distractions are away. Maybe if you're homeless, it's a little quiet part of the park where nobody can bother you, and you just spend 1 hour where nobody else can encroach on your time and your energy, and you're just with yourself, right? Work your way up very slowly. Those are my tips. That's what a positive addiction is. I know it's so much easier said than done. And please believe me, I am not here to preach. Everyone I've met on Skid Row has been incredible. They work so hard. They're against so many odds, but no odds are more favorable than faith. I have seen, and I don't just mean religious faith, I mean any faith. If you believe in yourself, if you believe that you have accomplished things in the past that are incredible, and it's in you, and you have that power, you can absolutely beat any addiction you put your mind to. It's about faith in yourself, confidence that on the other side of your addiction, there is something beautiful that will help you grow and find beauty and meaning. As always, I love each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, write reviews, and email me at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com with any questions, or if you'd like to be on a future episode. I would love to have you, all of you in Street Strong, in the Street Strong community. Have a wonderful day. Thank you all very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Street Strong. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with every single person you know who is struggling with homelessness. And remember that famous line from Mr. Rogers: when the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I'll think of you.